This is the Faith Conversations podcast. Here we bring people of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hi, friends. Thanks for joining the Faith Conversations podcast. This is Jessica Cabrera, your host. I'm so excited to be here. I have my co-host, Kristen Stockton, here again for a special edition episode on biblically managing overwhelm. Oh my gosh, we all need this, right? So Kristen is back. She's going to be with me again during this Faith and Work series as we're doing these special editions. I'm super excited to have her here again. And honestly, this is just pretty awesome because I've been preparing some of these messages for a Working Women Honor God event that I've hosted at my local church. And Kristen has attended this event before, and she's heard the message that you guys are going to hear today. And so I'm really excited to share more with you on this topic because it is something that I was on a quest to figure out. Like, I was feeling so overwhelmed when I taught on this topic. I had so much going on in my life at the time, and I was dealing with grief of the death of a family friend. I was dealing with my son graduating from high school. I was dealing with financial struggles with business-related things at home. I was dealing with lots of work-related challenges going on at the time. And I just all sorts, I could go on. And I felt very, very overwhelmed. And then the Lord had put it on my plate to teach on this topic of how to biblically manage overwhelm. And as I went on a quest to learn more about this from the Bible, I just discovered life-giving things. And that is something that I am so wanting to share with other people. So the podcast is a great way for more people to hear these messages that God has given us to learn more about his character and who he is. So I really want to turn to you, Kristen, to ask, you've heard this message. And so What would you want to tell our listeners today about this topic before we dig in and they get to hear it too?
Oh, well, thanks for having me back. And this is a topic near and dear to my heart. And I was listening to you kind of share your story. And it's funny, I'm thinking, yes, yes, mm-hmm. yes. And one of the things that struck me in kind of just meditating and thinking about this from hearing you teach was really about how we define it for ourselves. And I think there is a whole range of overwhelm that we fall into. And anywhere from, you know, it could just be an overwhelming morning where nothing works and everything falls apart and breaks and we end up wearing two different pairs of shoes as we walk out of the house and cleaning up spills along the way, to really long seasons of hardship where the weight of that can show up and we don't even realize how much we're hurting and how much pain we might be in as a result of just circumstance over circumstance over circumstance. And so part of what I look at when I think about this topic is really about capacity. Because I have been in seasons where my calendar wasn't really full. I didn't have like appointment after appointment that was overwhelming. I had the weight of things that I was carrying, and I didn't have the emotional or mental capacity for anyone or anything else. And being someone who's a giver, who's an encourager, who wants to pour into others, I was so empty. I didn't even know how empty I was, and I didn't have the capacity for others. And I feel like when you're called to give to others and care for others, but you don't have the capacity for your capacity to do it, that's a really hard place to be. Someone once said to me, and I use this a lot in my teaching and my coaching, is that we are constantly rescuing others while we are drowning. And we could have life vests being thrown at us, but we don't see them or recognize them because we're in such a deep cycle. And when I was listening to, we can spiral out of that. Sometimes we can catch it. We can feel the overwhelm coming before it gets to burnout. So I feel like there's a cycle where, okay, I'm irritable. I am not feeling myself. And my husband will call me out on it. He will remind me, like, in different ways. And he'll say something about my tone, snap, and he'll call me out on it. And then I have to take a moment and say, oh, what's going on here? And we need people in our lives who can do that. Mm-hmm. We cannot get through these seasons in isolation of ourselves. And that's one of the reasons why I loved the group that you have brought together and the teaching, because when we are in community with others, we can have those moments where they will call things out. And I have had moments where I will spiral, and I don't know I'm spiraling, but I would have someone gently say to me, you know, Kristen, the other day you were talking about all of these things going on and you just really sounded like you're kind of spiraling. So can we pray about all right. those things? And I really appreciate that, because it's a mental check. It's a mental clarity check to figure out, am I spiraling to a point of shutdown, or do I need a spirit-led strategy to kind of move from the place I am to where I want to be and pull myself up?
Yeah, it's like biblical coping skills, right?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah. I also like what you said about other, you know, being in community and other people calling you out. But I also want to mention, because in one of my more recent periods of overwhelm and really even kind of fighting off some mild, like, depressive episodes and things like that, I was feeling like I was just in a funk. And I kept on telling myself, like, oh, I'll be better tomorrow, or I'll feel better once I get this off my plate, or whatever the case is. And it just wasn't, I just wasn't feeling better. I just continued to notice that I didn't feel like myself. And so I eventually went to my husband, and I told my husband, I was like, I don't feel like myself right now. You know, I also went to my boss and I said, hey, I need to talk to you because I'm in a funk right now. And I feel like it could pour over into my work. And I feel like you need to be aware that I am feeling just like I'm not feeling like myself. And it's giving me a shorter runway on my projects, on my ability to manage my team, on a number of other things that I do at work that are not normal for me. I normally have the energy to do these things, but right now I feel like I'm on a really short runway and I just need you to be aware. So I think, to your point about community, it's not only being receptive when someone, when you let allow yourself to be in community and for those people to be able to say, hey, are you doing okay? You know, but I also think it's about self-awareness and being humble and vulnerable. I really think it's more about vulnerability to be able to go to others and say, I'm not feeling really great right now. I feel very overwhelmed with my life.
So what spiritual rhythms have you used to reboot in those times?
Yeah. So it totally depends on the moment. And actually that's a good bit of the teaching that comes after the introduction everybody's going to listen to today. There are actually 5 tips for biblically managing overwhelm. And today you're only going to really hear one of them. But if anyone listening wants to be able to access the other 4 tips, I'm going to include a link into the show notes for you to be able to do that. But those 5 tips actually dig into this. So everyone will hear today about the way that I've learned is effective for me to go before the Lord. And also I think it's something that scripture tells us to do as well. And we see it modeled by Jesus. But there are also a number of other types of practices and rhythms that we can incorporate that help us release some of that overwhelm that entangles us, that makes us spiral, like you were talking about in a minute ago. So I probably don't have enough time right now to really unpack all of that, but I'll definitely link it in the show notes.
Oh, that's fantastic. And so one of the things I love, and let's get into this right away, is you talk about how Jesus models this for us, and it's in your first tip. So let's get to the teaching.
So we're going to be talking about managing overwhelm. And as working women of faith, I think we all know it doesn't matter your age or your life stage or anything, we wear many, many hats. And often the many hats that we wear, including being a friend, being a family member, you know, in addition to work and responsibilities and the to-do list and so forth, can just be very overwhelming. And it's not just about being busy. I actually looked up the term overwhelmed to make sure I was kind of like facing it correctly. And it says it's the mental and emotional weight that builds when responsibilities, emotions, or circumstances exceed our capacity to cope. Sound accurate? That sounds accurate to me. And the thing is that we are finite human beings. We are not all-knowing. We are not all-powerful. We are not omnipresent. We're definitely not perfect. We have limits. And we exist in a very finite world. We're limited. We're very limited. And the world is limited. The world around us is limited. And yet, in the depths of our inner being, we long for a life that has no limits. We would love to not have the boundaries of our bodies, our minds, our time, our space. We would love to never hit a wall or run out of time, right? Have you ever said to yourself, if only there were more hours in the day? We would love to be able to easily weather every mental and emotional storm. I wish I could get through what I'm going through right now with like total strength, you know? Doesn't faze me. Have you ever said to yourself, everything going on is just too much. I can't handle it. Well, when we have more to handle physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually than what our finite, limited human nature can accommodate, ladies, we're going to feel overwhelmed. The reality is that there will be times when we are not capable of all the things that are on our plate. It's going to happen. We just cannot avoid it. So today's question is, how do we respond when we feel that way? Do we spiral? You know, the spiral of anxiety, the spiral of confusion, the spiral of stress. Does our overwhelm suck the life out of us? Does it degrade our motivation? Does it cause us to want to shut down? Does it cause us to be irritable with the people who we love or who we're closest to? Does it cause us to experience shame? Does it cause us to live with a constant sense of regret or disappointment in ourselves or in our situation? I think we need to think, was Jesus overwhelmed? I would venture to say that Jesus lived a pretty overwhelmed life. He was all of God, existing in the same limited human body and earthly space that we exist in, but on a mission to save humanity. I don't think you can get more overwhelming than that. So I don't think being overwhelmed is a sin. I don't think that Jesus ever spiraled, though. I don't think that his overwhelm sucked the life out of him. I think that how we respond to overwhelm is where Satan sneaks in to steal and kill and destroy. And that's where he robs us of our God-given ability to live life and live it to the fullest. He will take the emotion of our overwhelm and he'll lure us into thinking as the world thinks and behaving as the world behaves. And so we need to see what the Bible has to say about managing overwhelm. So in just a minute, we're going to go over 5 tips for managing overwhelm that are based on biblical principles. Sometimes we may have the tendency to put talking to God on the list of things that's overwhelming. Before I met my husband, I had a boyfriend, And he broke up with me because he wanted to focus on his career and he didn't have time to focus on our relationship. Now, I understand this concept, but when he told me this, I was extremely offended because I saw myself as his biggest champion. I was his support system. I was the person that helped him focus on his career. I helped him accomplish his goals. I never complained about his workload or the time that he spent at work. And when he was struggling with making a decision about how to spend his time, I would help him focus on those goals, encourage him to make sacrifices, even when it meant not spending time with me. So I was feeling like in the relationship that I was being the wind beneath his wings, you know, not some heavy load that was weighing him down. So whenever he gave me this reason, it just hit me dead between the eyes that the relationship that I thought I was in is not the relationship that he thought he was in. And he was seeing conversation and time with me as a chore. He was not seeing it as time well spent. And he felt like the time with me was time he could spend better elsewhere. And that's when I realized I was not valued in this relationship. So we have a challenge. And that is talking to God about what you have going on a chore. Do you see it as something that you're supposed to do in order to meet an expectation? Is it part of a heavy load that's weighing you down, another thing on your list? Or is it a relief? Is it carrying a load for you? We see in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, and I've put this in the New Living Translation because I feel like the ESV is the translation I normally read from, but I feel like in my own life, this passage has become so common that it's become a little bit tired in my brain. And so when I read it in the New Living Translation, it wakes up a little bit for me. And it says, "Then Jesus said, 'Come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden that I give you is light.'" He's saying, let me walk with you. Let me carry the load with you. My weight isn't heavy like the religious burdens that others place on you. I'm gentle. And if you stay close to me, I'll find rest for you. So I need to be clear as we're talking about the let it all out tip. I am not talking about a quiet time. I'm not talking about scheduled daily time. I'm not talking about routine or spiritual disciplines. I'm not talking about organized Bible studies. These are all very important aspects of the Christian experience, but that's for a different talk. Right now, I'm talking about going to God and letting it all out when you feel overwhelmed. There is absolutely no one who is going to champion your success more than God will. So if you feel overwhelmed, please don't believe the lie that going to God is another chore on your list. That is exactly what Satan would want you to believe. It will keep you from going to God, who will deliver you from your burden. And it will keep that burden weighing on you, creating a division between you and your God. That's what he wants. So don't believe that lie that it's a chore. Go to God and let it all out. So for me, this might be in my closet when I'm getting dressed. I swear the Holy Spirit lives in my closet. I walk in there and suddenly I'm like, oh my God, you know? But basically this is how it goes for me. I wake up in the morning, my mind will, it's thankfully this is not every single day of my life, but this is very often with the way my career is. If my mind will just start racing right away. And
what I typically do is I'll pick up my phone and look at my calendar because I live off of my calendar. And maybe I went to bed the night before without looking at it. Therefore, I wake up with anxiety, wondering what's on it. And I look at my calendar. I see the thing. Oh, I see the things I have to do. The things I have to be mentally prepared for, the things I have to be physically prepared for, timing, all sorts of things. Then I hop over to scroll my email because one of the things on my calendar reminds me of something in my email. So I scroll real quick. I see people, oh my gosh, I haven't replied to those 10 emails. People are waiting on me. And right around then is like when I'm, you know, walking into my bathroom, I'm getting myself ready, whatever. Then my husband starts calling out some sort of comment or request related to the kids or paying a bill or some scheduling thing or a task that he'd like me to help him with for his business before I leave this morning. And suddenly it just starts to bubble up inside of me. And I normally start to feel the pressure typically building right around the time that I walk into the closet to get dressed. And in that moment is when I have a choice. I have a choice to resist the temptation to behave as the world behaves and instead humble myself before God and let it all out. 1 Peter 6 through 11 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by brotherhood throughout the world. And after you've suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen." Praise God. So when I choose God, this is what it looks like. I walk into my closet. It's a walk-in closet. So I close the door behind me and I hit my knees inside my closet. I hit my knees. And I get it out. I get all the things out that are competing for my mental and emotional attention. I just say it out loud what they are. I cry a few tears typically because I'm a crier. And then I pick myself up, I wipe my face, and I continue to put on my clothes. I do this in my office as well. I do it in my home office and my DC office whenever overwhelm strikes me. When there are so many things flying at me that they all exceed my ability to cope with them. Remember that definition? I am quick to feel defeated. I think of all the things that I need to do that I haven't done. I think of all the people that I'm letting down because of my limited capacity and the grief of things going on that I wish would not be so. And I feel defeat. And in that moment, I have a choice. That choice is sit at my desk, defeated and overwhelmed, and plow through it and go about my day, or go to God and let it all out. So when I'm in my DC office, I walk to the bathroom, I open up the handicap stall because I feel quite handicapped in that moment, and I just let it all out. When I'm home office, I hit my knees, middle of the floor. I can't tell you how many times I've done it. On my knees. And I go to God. And I say, "God, I don't know what to do. Because I feel so overwhelmed. I feel so defeated. I am falling short in so many ways. I need your grace to cover all of my shortcomings. Give me confidence in you and in your plan when I feel like I'm not enough to do the things that you've called me to do. Sort it out for me, Lord. Help me let go of the things that don't deserve my attention right now. Give me clarity to focus on the right things at the right time. Because my mind is swarming. Please settle it. Give me peace. Please, God. Help me." and I'll kneel quietly there for just a minute. I'll sit in God's presence, and I take a deep breath, and then I get up. I wipe my eyes if I've cried. I sit at my desk. I log on, get going with my day. It took me 2 or 3 minutes. But guess what? I'm no longer defeated. As I sit at my desk, I'm sitting at my desk and working my day, standing in victory, because my load is not my load to carry. He has delivered me from that. So I want us to take a look at when Jesus would let it all out. We see in Matthew 26, the account of the Garden of Gethsemane. Okay, Jesus, I want you to listen to what he's overwhelmed by. Okay? Because remember, he lived an overwhelming life. He was overwhelmed by burdensome responsibility. And when he felt like he had overwhelming responsibility, he prays fervently, asking God if the cup of this suffering can pass. And ultimately, he submits and says, not my will, but yours. Right? What about after John the Baptist died, his dear friend who he loved dearly? I just love the fact that Jesus had deep relationships. He's overwhelmed with sadness and grief. What did he do? He withdrew to a quiet place to be alone with his father. Before choosing the 12 disciples, he was overwhelmed with a very important decision. Man, I've had this in my life. He spent the whole night in prayer. That's what he did. And after intense ministry, he was overwhelmed and drained physically and emotionally by what ministry required of him. Sound familiar? And he regularly withdrew to a desolate place to pray. So we can have to get comfortable with the idea that going to God is not a chore. Talking to God is time very well spent, and it also does not require a whole lot of time. It can, in a beautiful way. It can be a long time and awesome, but it doesn't have to be. So again, we have to remember to believe truth. He's the one that will champion the success of the endeavors that you're called to, whatever they are. And we have to be willing to go to him and let it out when it's beyond our ability to cope. So when we feel like we're about to explode, going to God is like our pressure release. Okay? And that's why tip number one is to let it all out.
Wow, that was amazing. And I know that there are going to be women who, when they find themselves at 2 a.m. on the face down on the floor, crying and letting it all out, they will remember the teachings that you shared with us today. And that was such a great tip. And remember, go to the show notes so you can get the remaining tips that Jessica has for us there. So Jessica, anything else you want to share as we close this out?
Well, I mean, you know, this has just been so great. And this topic is so deep. I mean, we could go on and on about this topic. There's so much more to say, but I hope it's been helpful to everyone. And also, I don't know, Kristen's probably going to be kind of humble about this, but I just want you to know that she has a ton of resources that you guys could also benefit from. So I'll link it in the show notes for you, but she has a quiz or questionnaire that's called Moving from Stuck to Strong that you can take to kind of evaluate or assess just where you are on your journey of stuck to strong. And I've done this, and man, my results were so cool. I got the tips at the end, and I was like, man, that is spot on. It was really great. And then also believe it or not, there's an additional resource that she offers for free, which is called Intro to Restore, and it's 5 lessons all about building spiritual resilience. So all of these things are available through what Kristen has to offer. I'll put things in the show notes for you guys, but please just, if this topic has been meaningful to you, if you've felt like this struck a chord with you, or that you feel like you're sitting in this cycle of overwhelm, or maybe like at the bottom of the swimming pool in the overwhelm, then please take advantage of these resources, because we want you to pursue the Lord. We want you to find freedom. We want you to get untangled. Mm-hmm. We want you to be able to breathe. So we're here. Please continue to listen so that your faith can be built up and encouraged while you're on your journey. Thanks so much. Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review. And get excited, because new episodes release every week.